solutions for that for sure.
Now, I was reading on your website that you don't use a key for these automobiles. You use a USB code that you would email to yourself or to a friend who wants to drive it, and they'd use this code and it would start the car, correct?
That's correct.
So what happens if you're, say, a senior citizen and you don't use a computer? I mean, that's not saying that they don't, but my parents don't, and my dad's always wanted a scooter, and if he bought one of these, what would he do if he didn't have a computer and he wanted to start his car?
Just like a normal car, it'll come with, a USB key that you plug in just like a normal key. The difference is that we can encode more information on that device. So if you wanted to, for example, issue a temporary key to a friend to use the vehicle for a weekend, you could do that from the website. Or if you wanted to have a special key that could only go, was limited in terms of functionality, say a valet key or something like that, there's just more information that we can store there. And if you lose it, rather than having a custom automotive format that you've got to pay a lot of money at the dealership to go.
$150 for a Mercedes.
Right. Any USB key will do. Ultimately, I see that functionality actually moving to or being complemented by your mobile device. So being able to use your phone as your car key.
That's a great idea. That reminds me, when you were describing that, the first time I got into a Prius to test drive one, and the guy goes, I go, well, where do I put the key? He goes, you don't. You just kind of set it here on the little shelf.
Wow.
So I set it on the little
off.
Shelf, and the car was on, you know. But interestingly enough, I did read your website as well in detail, not as much as Pam. She actually read more than I did. But I did note that you've put some safety features to where if you're charging up your car, you don't, like, drive off with it plugged into the wall. So
right.
You, so like somebody like me
door.
Would do something like that.
Go
ahead, Mark.
Well, I think that that's just we're in the process of this real sea change in transportation, and that's going to mean a rethinking of a lot of the basic elements. Your gas car is not, you don't have a gas nozzle plugged into it every night, and so the danger of driving away while you're fueling is actually very low. But an EV that you're plugging in every time you come home to keep it topped up, that's kind of going to be a pretty critical safety feature.
I have seen people do that at gas stations, drive off with the thing
what?
And fill the pump filling. I mean, it is because they're busy washing the windows and they're in a hurry to get on the freeway, and you just watch it, and it's just they wipe out their paint job and, you know, all that. But to ask you now, there are no GPSs or stereos in your vehicles, but you can use a smartphone. Will you be able to use your iPad eventually as you get more designed and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
You'll be able to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're right now working on the dash design for the pilot units, and it's going to have capability for either a pad device or a phone device. So that rather than having a sort of a custom satellite navigation system that's generally going to be inferior to what you can find on an iPhone or an Android device. We just figured use the device you've already got in your pocket.
Great. And then it also saves you having to buy all this extra stuff that they always add on at the dealership. You know, stereo is this much more. And then are going to have air conditioning and heating, of course, you said, eventually models.
Those will be options for sure.
All right. Now, you have a team of 14 people listed on your website, including yourself, and you're the president. How did you bring these employees to Arcimoto? Did they, like, come and seek you out, or did you hand-select these people to come and work with you, or how did that all happen?
A combination of both. Where we are in Eugene, a lot of people sort of ask me, well, how does it make any sense at all to build vehicles in Eugene, Oregon? What most people don't know is that Oregon and Eugene specifically is one of the hubs of heavy vehicle, recreational vehicle manufacture. So sort of right in our backyard, we have a whole vehicle industry, Country Coach, Monaco, Marathon, and all of those companies have been really leveled by the latest financial recession. So there's a real surplus of talent in our own backyard, engineers, designers, lean manufacturer trained assemblers and welders and so on, that have been sort of clamoring to jump on board the project. And we've hired some really sharp guys out of that industry. And then others have come from a variety of ways. But in some cases, we sort of put out the call for a particular position. And in other cases, people just walked in the door and said,
Here I am.
This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I've got to be a part of it. Put me to work.
Now,
so,
do you have any interns from the colleges there that want to come in and learn and, like, earn credits and also because that's a big deal now in colleges to go green and find, you know, environmentally safe things to do? And has anybody come in as an intern to work with you?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
That's
we had
wonderful.
A couple of great interns over the
any
summer.
Women?
They were both guys.
Oh, come on, ladies. Let's get out there. You go and contact Archimoto. Now, I was talking to a friend on Skype from Holland this weekend, and she was wanting to call in, but it's 3 a.m. for them. So a lot of our listeners internationally will get up in the middle of the night to call in and so forth, but or listen to us in archives. And her and I were talking, or she and I, we were talking about the vehicle itself. Now, in the making of the vehicle, are the products you use green, and the making and the tools that you use, are they are these products recyclable or green themselves? Do you use recycled products?
Yes. Yeah, so at a first cut, we acknowledge that almost everything that's going into the vehicle is some sort of a highly refined material. So the first cut is use less. But then of the materials we do use, recyclability content is hugely important. So the frame is steel, totally recyclable. The body panels are made of thermoform plastic that's both fully recyclable and color impregnated, which just means that you don't have to paint it. So in addition to having a totally recyclable body surface, we get rid of the full automotive paint step, which is can be a very toxic process as well. In terms of the batteries, the base model batteries are lead acid. Those have something like a 99% recycle stream recyclability. So, yeah.
So would you have a drop-off place for those batteries that they can drop them off like you do your computer parts and stuff like that for recyclable?
They would just be – there's already an existing recycle chain for that. There's actually end-of-life value in the battery. So it's the same batteries that you would take back to an automotive supplier once you replace the battery. And most likely that would actually just happen as part of the battery replacement process. So it's not something you would actually even have to take agency of in the process.
So let's say you've had a car from you guys, a vehicle, for 3 or 4 years, and you want to trade it in, and you're not going to sell this one, and you just wiped it, you've just wore it out. Can you take that in and recycle that whole vehicle? Instead of junkyard, you know, where you take cars to junk them?
Yeah,
you could just probably recycle all the parts, right?
Well,
pretty much.
At a first, the first step would be just recycle the batteries, because after 3-4 years, you can replace the base model batteries, and then
keep going. That thing will last a long time.
You have a better vehicle than you had because of the way battery technology is evolving. The batteries that you replace with in 3 or 4 years will be substantially better than the batteries you get today. Right. So it's a car that over time that you own it will get better.
Well, I want to personally thank you for your calculator on your website so you can calculate. I went out and calculated my savings compared with one of your cars and what I'm currently driving. Of course, I had approximate. I have no idea what my gas mileage is on my car right now. So as your car ages, I know that gets worse and worse.
Mine's 18.
So also, I wanted to say thank you, too. You have on your site, you link to clean cities. information. Uh-huh. And as I feared it, of course, I learned that here in my area, I live in Kansas, most of our electricity for my house even is created by coal, which is even higher than the national average. Have you received positive feedback about your website and all the information that you share in detail?
We've certainly received some positive feedback. I'm glad to hear that you got some value out of it, though.
Yes, definitely. I encourage everybody to go out there to their website, and Pam will give all that information here in a little bit. But you tell a lot of information that most automotive places do not go in detail about, which I just want to say thank you. As a female, now I'm always shying away from car parts, and you know, I go in and get it serviced, and whatever they say to do, I do it. I mean, I could be clueless. They could be taking me to the bank, which
Maybe
is bad. But this was very informative. I could understand it. So thank you to whoever is keeping your site up to date.
Well, I will certainly pass that along, and I'm definitely glad it was useful information. I think one of the challenges that we have as the living in the world of today is that we've sort of inherited a set of ideas around transportation that are more than 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough when you're living within a set of ideas sometimes to really think, well, is this actually necessary, or is this the most appropriate way of doing things? And so we've tried to say, not just here's what we're doing, but here's why we're doing it.
Well, Mark, we have a question from France, and it's from Vanessa V, and she asks, do you work with ecologists and other professionals on the environment with your cars? Do you work with them to, you know, make it better for the environment, or have you done so?
I would say not. We haven't done a ton of work specifically with environmental professionals on the content of the car. That's something we actually do fairly internally on the team. But we're heavily engaged with environmental advocacy organizations, the conservationists, and so on, mostly because the product is something that has really resonated with people at that particular event.
And then she also wants to know, what is the cost in $1 of a vehicle going 1 mile? Have you figured out the cost for the electricity
compared to a car?
For the
electricity, it's going to be variable depending on where you live.
Yep.
But here in the Pacific Northwest, we're estimating that it's going to be 1 or 2 cents per mile.
Pam, that's what I did out on his site. So Vanessa,
yeah, I know, but I'm
there.
I'm trying to help the people that they don't, you know, they haven't gone to his website. So these are questions that are actually from his Q&A, but the fans are asking the same ones, the listeners. And then she wants to know how many batteries you have in a car, and can you have more than one, and where are they situated in the car?
For the base model, there are 12 cells. Each one's about 50 pounds. And they're under the main deck, under the floor deck, which is part of the reason why the vehicle handles so well, is just because all of that weight is right on the base plane of the vehicle.
Okay. Now, how much do you think a regular driver, say if I bought one of these and I was just going locally to work, how much do you think I would save a year power electricity versus gasoline by using one of your vehicles? Do you have an idea yet how much you would probably save?
I think we estimated that around $1,000 a year, but it really depends. It's variable depending on your driving habits.
For me, it was $1,400.
let's say you're paying for gas, and you have a very efficient gas car, and so you're only paying about 10 cents for every mile that you drive, and you're paying 2 cents in an Arcimoto, which means you save 8 cents per mile, and you're driving 12,000 miles a year. That's pretty close to about $1,000.
That's great. Now, do you have buyers already in line to pre-order these cars, or people really interested that really want to be the first in line for when these come out on the market?
We have we have pre-orders that people have dropped on the website, and we have more than half now of our pilot fleet committed. So
wow.
the pilot units that's going to be a very short production run. Of 11 to 15 vehicles. We've got more than half of those dialed in at this point. And then somewhere around 50 pre-orders for the vehicles themselves. We've been sort of reticent to really push on the sales side, so it's a little bit tricky to find the pre-order link.
Right.
But as soon as we've really firmed up final product specs, you can expect that that's something that we'll put a lot more emphasis on.
Now, you say you want to sell internationally at some point. Do you think you'll have a lot of competition from Europe and Asia, and how tough do you think the competition will be long term?
Well, certainly you could think of any vehicle maker as potential competition for Arcimoto.
Right.
But in terms of where we are today with the particular product that we're developing, it's fairly unique as a platform in the vehicle landscape. If we are very successful in building a marketplace around that idea, I have no doubt that there will be other entrants into the space. But I would think probably particularly more so in areas of the world where people are accustomed to driving smaller, more appropriate form vehicles.
Right, like plus they have the smart cars out now that are really, really tiny. Now,
the main differentiator there for the Arcimoto is that it sort of has a bigger car driving experience for the size of vehicle that it is. So even though it's a very lightweight, very efficient ride, it has
a
fairly long wheelbase and a fairly wide track width.
Now, are you at liberty to tell us what Nathan, Stoner, or John had to say about test driving your vehicles? When they went up, I know John and Nathan went up there and did some videos with you, and then Stana was up there this summer. Can you tell us what their feedback was, if you're allowed to?
So it's actually, sure. So Nathan, after his first drive, he said it was like the thrill of a motorcycle without the, oh, my God, I'm going to die feeling, which was great. I mean, it was definitely, it sort of confirmed our initial read on just how exhilarating that ride experience was. And then John is actually the one who's responsible for the name of the product. So he got out of it and he said, remember this, because people are going to say this about this thing, and I'm the first one who said it. It's like driving a shark. You have so much power and control on the road. And so that really gave us the SRK sort of spiritual identity came from John directly. And then Stana also, we actually caught some video of her that I think is going to go live here on her site very shortly, that where she was just, again, also quite positive about the ride experience and compared it favorably with both sort of like that safe motorcycle meets electric sports car analogy.
Now,